You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 30. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here with, guess who? John Brownstone!
Hi!
Today, we're tackling one of the biggest topics, not just in BDSM, but in all things sexual, consent. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at KaylaLords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter at KaylaLords or stalk John Brownstone at SouthernSirsPlace.com. All links are in the show notes. Just a reminder that I am on Patreon looking for kinky patrons to help me keep the podcast and my writing going. Anyone who can and wants to show their love can make a monthly pledge for as little as a dollar a month. Go a little higher and you get perks, including monthly videos of me talking about kink, sex, writing, you name it. Your support will help me upgrade the equipment I use for the podcast, have more time to create more and better episodes, and even make the podcast ad-free. You can stop at any time, and no worries. If you just can't afford to do it or it's not your thing, we still love you for listening each week. Okay, real quick, before we get into the actual show, there's something I need to do. Okay, so several days ago, am I right about that? Okay, Daddy got a very kind message on Tumblr from a listener who said some really sweet things about how much they love the show and, you know, that I say things that are remotely helpful. And they happened to say something that made me laugh out loud. And for me to laugh out loud, there's no chuckle, there's no giggle. It's like a cackle, like throw my head back and like open mouth.
That's true, folks. It's unique.
It's a huge laugh. Anyway, but it was a good laugh. I wasn't laughing at that person. I was just completely amused. So, apparently some of y'all out there really love my accent, and I'm not going to say any more what accent. I know there's an accent. It's okay. I own it. It's fine. But this particular listener really loved it when I said a certain word. So I'm really hoping they decided that episode 30 was an episode to listen to, because for that person and anybody else who apparently appreciates my accent and maybe specific words I might say, I just have one thing to say, and for me to you, especially that one listener, I just want to say, fuck. I don't know what's funny about that, but apparently he really likes it. She really likes it. So, fuckity fuck fuck, McFuckerson. There.
Do you feel better now?
I feel a lot better. I was a little, tense before starting the show, and I'm feeling a little bit better now. I should just say fuck more often. Fuck, 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 fuck. I can make a song out of it, but nobody wants to hear me sing. So, hey. Yeah. Do y'all hear this? This is what I live with. Anyway, this show is actually going to be a little serious today, and I say it's serious because it is a serious topic, but I know us.
Oh, yeah.
It probably won't be that serious, y'all.
It can
now
degrade in an instant.
Oh, yeah. So, this week's show is about consent.
Correct.
And some of it's going to be pretty basic. I mean, I would hope that most of y'all listening, if you're listening to a show about BDSM, you already have basic concepts of consent, but it's always good to talk about again.
Right.
Because I think sometimes we forget. We go, oh, consent. They said yes. Okay, I got consent. And sometimes it's more than that. Then the other thing I kind of want to, like, I feel like I need to give a disclaimer. That was the word I wanted. I'm not all here today, so words are hard. I normally script out episodes, and so I script it out so I know what's going to be said beforehand, and then I throw in stories and rants and rambles. Y'all have heard those before. and something about doing the show with Daddy, scripts never work for us, because see, what'll happen is we'll have a script and we'll practice it before we hit record, and the practice one will be awesome. Right. We'll be completely off the cuff. We'll be completely honest. We'll make some really great points. And then when we go to hit record, we forget that we were going to say any of that.
Exactly.
So we're
just going to play it off the cuff.
We are winging it today, and I am so sorry. No. To my type A OCD friends out there, you know how hard this is for me. But it's important, and we do just want to have sort of a conversation, because I think that there's a lot of perspectives on consent in general, whether you're dom, sub, not kinky, kinky, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I think within a relationship as a dominant and submissive, I think there's probably a certain view on consent that changes, adapts, develops over time, and even from different perspectives.
True.
Okay? Because put it this way, y'all. I'm his submissive. We're 24/7. I say I consent to everything. I say he can do whatever he wants. But damn, if I'm really not feeling good, I'm sort of still sitting there hoping right. that he doesn't want something. Well, so consent just, gets a little wonky
it,
after
it
a while.
Does. And actually, this topic today is what was brought to my mind to talk about a little bit. By the same Tumblr follower. Matter of fact, she gave me permission to mention her name. Her Tumblr name is Ruth K.
Everybody go follow her.
Yeah, wonderful blog on Tumblr. And wonderful person, too. And she had asked me a question about consent. And basically, what it was can consent be implied by someone who is drunk.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And
I mean this is something that can go either way, whether from the BDSM world or even into the vanilla world.
Definitely in the vanilla
okay.
world. People get in a lot of trouble all the time from drunk
absolutely.
Sex and
absolutely.
Consensual issues later.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at that time I replied back to her and I told her, you know, if someone is inebriated, that they're drunk, excuse me, in no way, shape, or form can consent be taken.
Not really. Not if you follow informed consent.
Correct.
And we will get to that in
correct.
A little bit. I definitely want to talk about that.
I mean, you know, if you are inebriated, I mean, let's face it, we've all been there, we've all done it, we've had a few drinks too many. Which, you know, is
nothing
fine.
Nothing wrong with that, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
If everybody's legal, that's fine.
Well, that's true.
And you're not
that's
driving,
true. Please,
do not.
Please be legal and don't drive when you have
you.
A few too many.
Thank
take
you.
Take a taxi. You know, we really want you back next week to listen to us
right.
again.
Uber
okay?
is your friend, y'all.
Yeah,
Uber is
yeah.
your friend.
But, you know, when you've had a few, you know, in my mind, even a few drinks, you know, I think consent can get a little wonky at that point, whether it be sexual, whether it be for a scene, you know.
Think about how, I mean, I'm not a big drinker, and it's been many years since I was actually drunk off my ass, but I promise you, anything that I thought sounded like a real good time while I was drunk, when I thought about it the next day when I was sober,
wasn't really
all
that good.
It didn't seem like a good idea.
No.
If you're thinking, oh, sure, I can consent to kinky play while I'm drunk, well,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody's unique and everybody's an individual, and I get that. And your threshold is different from my threshold. And I would say to John Brownstone, I would say, okay, you get me drunk tonight, and yeah, I'm telling you right now I consent. We're cool. Because I would like to think even in a moment of inebriation, I could still scream mm-hmm. out red if it got really bad. But what if I yeah. couldn't? And that's a what if that I don't think anybody really should
right.
play with.
And here's the thing, too. If we've been drinking, especially, you know, me, like she said, she may give consent beforehand. But you know what? What if at that point you have just a few too many and you're really over the edge? I mean, you know, as the person who takes care of you, okay, I need to have enough judgment to know, hey, this is not a good place to be to do this.
Right, that what you really need to do is to take my drink away, take me off of the table, make me pull my shirt back down, and then tuck me into bed.
Well, maybe not the shirt back down, but you know.
Yeah, can we cover the girls? Okay, so that's what started this, and it's kind of cool when my daddy Dom, who supports the endeavor of the podcast, but does not get to participate as much as I would like.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to be out from behind. Don't look behind the curtain, because here
right.
I am doing
he's
all
the behind the curtain.
Things.
Right, he's my tech guy. But when he looked at me and said, we really need to talk about consent. Have you talked about consent? No, I don't think I've talked about it. And if I've talked about consent, I know we have not talked about it like we're talking about it today. So mm-hmm. that's what started it. Really, don't worry, I will totally link on the show notes page to that person's Tumblr page. So, you know, shameless promotion. Everybody go follow her. Go, you know, tell her thank you for getting me to say fuck however many times I end up saying it in this episode. But let's start from the beginning about what consent is. And I know that most people go, okay, they said yes. They said, yes, I will do this.
But that's not...
That's not
all of consent.
Right.
You know, if you're talking about consent, let's say as a bottom, you're negotiating a scene with a top. Okay? Okay, yes, I consent to this scene. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You may want a spanking, but in the course of that spanking, he has not touched your breast.
True.
Okay. So, you know, there are very finite things within that.
I'm consent to the spanking, but only with a hand and a paddle, not a belt and flogger.
Correct.
Not a whip. Not, you know, it's one thing to say, yes, I want to do that, but what does that mean? And the term that I have written about before, and I'll link to it in the show notes too, that was brought to our attention from a master that we met in our, not local area, but sort of our regional area, is when he talked about informed consent. And some people will say that informed consent takes all the fun and sexiness out of it. Okay, no. If you have to be vague and not share with your partner your plans, I already find that not sexy, okay? because while I don't know how hard the paddle's going to land on my ass, I do get to know that the paddle is going to land on my ass. I don't know how many times it's going to land.
That's true.
I don't know what the pattern is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's going to whisper in my ear first. I don't know. There's a lot of variables you don't know in a scene like that, but I'm going to know that it's a paddle. And that is part of informed consent. Now, the other part that I found fascinating, I didn't find fascinating. It made sense because it's something you and I do, but I found comforting. That's the word I want. See, words are hard today. That he said this, that it's not just you and I and we're, you know, our OCD type A selves.
Correct.
He was like, no, informed consent means taking that instrument of ass destruction or whatever it may be and letting the other person feel it in a non-kinky, non-seen way against their skin. That is how you can say, oh, sure, you can flog me because I kind of know what that felt like on my arm, or I know what it felt like on my leg, so sure, we'll try it on my back or my ass or whatever.
And that's something I've done with you with every one of our toys.
Every single toy.
You know, but before I grabbed a flogger and started flailing you,
can we do that tonight?
It has been a while.
I know, and he has purple rope he hasn't tried out.
That's true. Anyway, you know, what was the first thing I did with any of those toys? I showed them to you. I let you hold them, touch them, feel them. Not in a scene-like manner, but I did run it across your body, let you feel what it felt like, the texture, you know, everything else. I even showed you the proper way to use the toy.
That's true. And y'all, this is not a real clinical, serious, we sat down at a big table and the lights were all bright. No. We're very playful. I mean, we're still, like, I'm still half naked when this is happening. You know, we're getting ourselves geared up to do something.
Exactly.
And
you know, the poor dear thing, it had been through so much, and it is retired now. But, you know, one of the ways that I taught Kayla how to use the flogger, and even how I learned to use it, was through flogging a pillow.
Yes. poor pillow. Which, just in case anybody wondered, if you're kind of new to playing with things, like actual specific toys, and it's not just your hand, and it's not just, you know, pulling hair and whatever, and that's always a good place to start. Part of informed consent is knowing that the person who's wielding that thing on your body that will cause some sort of sensation, it's not all pain. I mean, we play with a lot of pain, but it's not all pain, but it is sensation.
Right.
Is that they know how to use that.
You can make a flogger
feel good, too. Oh, yes, you can. It's like a massage. Mm-hmm. But it's that the other person who is telling you that they're going to do this thing to you knows how to do it. That is part of consent, too.
That is absolutely true. And taking that even a little further, not only knowing how to use it, but say he is using it, and say while the toy may have felt good when you were, you know, feeling it, at some point it may get to be too much, and part of that consent is, you know, if you need to safe word, that the other that person will honor that safe word and stop.
Right, because consent comes down to trust, y'all. I mean, it really does. When you're finding a play partner in a club, you know, in a club or among your friends or whatever, the trust isn't oh, I trust this person with my social security number, like I do with daddy. It's the trust that this person is a responsible kingster. They're going to do what they say they're going to do. They're not going to do things that they said they weren't going to do. Right. And that if I say red or schmoopsie pants or purple eggplant, they will stop. Okay.
Right.
And so consent and trust kind of have to go hand in hand. And let me tell you something. If you are talking to somebody relatively new to you, they don't have to be new to the lifestyle, they don't have to be new to your personal inner circle, but new to you in playing, and you get a funny feeling in the pit of your stomach that makes you go, I'm not sure, and that's top or bottom, y'all. Don't play, okay?
Right.
Take a breather, step back.
You need to go with that gut instinct.
Always. And I say that, you know, I talk a lot about from a submissive perspective and protecting submissives, because hello, that's my thing. I'm a submissive, but I don't doubt that dominance or tops can get that uneasy feeling, because I would imagine, and I'll let daddy confirm or deny, that you have to trust that we will actually say something, that we will tell you that we don't like this, or
absolutely
that this, and we don't have health problems you got to be worried about.
Right. And that's another part that comes into it too. But, you know, going back a little bit to the original topic of consent, which brings up a good point. You know, this winter, both Kayla and I, this was a sick winter for both of us. One or the other was sick at one time or another. And what was really rough about it was that when she was sick, I wasn't sick. When I was sick, she was...
We just sort of passed it back and forth.
We just kind of passed it back and forth.
Ugh, I've never washed sheets so much in my
life. but anyway, you know, at the time that I was feeling healthy, you know, I would have loved to play. But, you know, I had to look at her and say, you know... No.
And here's the thing. This is why this is significant. It's not just that he's a very good human being and a nice man to not make his sick submissive, you know, suck his cock or something. This cock sound as good as fuck? You'll have to let us know. Anyway, our relationship is such that from the very beginning, I said as part of our negotiation, I am always sexually available to you. Whenever you want it, it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could say that because I trust him not to come after me when I am puking my guts up.
Yep.
Oh, hey, I'm sure that's somebody's kink out there somewhere.
All right. Your kink may not be my kink, but
your kink is okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, when I did feel awful, when I was, you know, when something was just not going to make it fun and sexy. Now, he also knows that stress isn't always a good reason not to get kinky, because our kinky moments can alleviate that stress. But
absolutely. But there's also a point where, you know, I have to know, okay, you know, there is a certain point with her that when she is under a certain amount of stress, if I put her over my knee and I give her one hell of a spanking, that her ass is red and bruised, it snaps her out of it.
And it is wonderful.
Okay. But there are times when she goes what I call over the edge.
Okay. Yes, I do.
And her stress is just like all consuming, and you know, it's just a downward spiral. In those times, I cannot do that. That would actually make matters worse.
Even though I have consented to that he can do what he wants to do, feels like doing, and desires to do. I consented to that long ago.
Right. But see, and this is a little bit of the difference of being in a long-term relationship and consent, okay? You have to use a little common sense. Okay.
And I wouldn't even call it that, though, Daddy. I would not call it common sense. To me, it comes down to the responsibility of the dominant. Just because you want to have something doesn't mean that you're supposed to or that you should in that moment.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Because I think, some people would call it common sense, but we all know that common sense is not that common. But if... out for you tops and dominance out there, if you take your sense of responsibility very seriously and your first thought is not your own pleasure, as important as that is, and from a submissive perspective, I find his pleasure and his comfort very important, his top priority is actually my comfort.
Absolutely. Because if she is not taken care of, and she is not in a state of well-being, whether it's physical, mental, or anything else, how could she be available to me to give me what
and
I need?
And can I really consent to that? You know, right. I consented 2 years ago.
Yeah. But you understand, and I think this is the big point. Regardless of whether you're in a long-term relationship, a new relationship, okay, if alcohol is involved,
sure.
If someone is sick,
sure.
Medication. If you're medicated, if you're on pain medication,
yeah, please don't come at me if I'm on pain medication. You leave me alone.
Promise you, I won't. But under those circumstances, someone may give consent. And see, here's the thing too: as a submissive, and I've seen this in Kayla, you know. She will agree to something because she feels it is her place as a submissive to do that. And it is my responsibility at that point to yay or nay.
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, I mean, you know, even though she has given implied consent, it doesn't mean that at any given moment I should just take that. I have to weigh, you know, has she been drinking? Is she sick? Is she on any medication? And this goes for anybody. You have to be responsible.
Absolutely. And I will say, I don't ever, I'm never comfortable with it being all the dominant's responsibility to make sure everything goes right. I know, as my dominant sitting right next to me is like, but that's my responsibility. I get that. I know. However, I do believe that submissives have our own sense of responsibility, and the hardest, from my perspective, the hardest part is weighing the desire to make our dominant happy and to please them and to take care of them, because I sometimes, you know, getting kinky is about, you know, our mutual pleasure, but sometimes it's I want to take care of him, and that is a way to take care of him.
True.
We have to weigh that with how we're actually feeling, and the responsible thing to do is to, especially if maybe there's a distance that's separating you, maybe you're not together all the time, and your dominant can't read your body language all the time and can't see what's going on and has to depend on you telling him or her what is going on in your life, you as a submissive have a responsibility to say, I am sick, I don't feel good, I'm freaking out, my boss is an asshole, and this is the worst day ever, 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 I hate life right now. And that way, your dominant can then make an informed decision about whether you're going to do anything or not, what methods they need to use to get you right again, whatever it may be. So, you know, I think some people listen and think we're not really talking about consent anymore. We're talking about communication. And you know what? Consent and communication are two halves of the same coin.
Exactly. You can't have one without the other. You have to have communication to have consent.
Now, I would like to, because you used an expression a little bit ago that I think it's out there, but I sort of came up with and we've sort of adopted, implied consent. And the reason I want to sort of bring this up, and I know that this particular couple we know is not completely unique in this. Maybe there's some other people out there listening who feel this way. I want to explore a topic. And when I say explore, I mean, I have an opinion, but I don't think my opinion's necessarily the right one. Okay. Yes, that does happen. It's okay. Nobody has to be shocked. We know a couple.
Not touching that one.
Yeah. I blew him a raspberry in case you weren't sure. Okay. So we know a couple who, he is dominant, she is submissive. It might even be closer to a slave relationship, but not a micromanaged slave relationship. I'm not even sure. They might be 24/7. I believe they live together.
Yes.
They live together? Okay.
Yes.
So he has made statements, and she's backed them up, so they're on the same page with this, several times about how he doesn't have to have her consent. He can do what he wants. And the moment I hear something like that, he's got the hiccups, y'all. The moment I hear something like that, it doesn't sit well with me.
Well, here's the thing, and I understand that as a dominant and submissive, I don't think it would. I think in that case, and I know who you're talking about, they are a master slave.
Okay.
Okay, they are a master slave. That, I think, you're entering into a whole different realm.
And I think the reason that I can talk about it and not like foam at the mouth and go, that's awful, because I try not to do that. Yeah. It happens, but I try
and
to. Is because we met Master Cade, who said his agreement with his slave, and he is Master Slave.
True.
His slave was so cute. She's his kitten, and she's just, I just wanted
adorable
to like,
little
oh
thing.
My gosh, so cute. Anyway, he said that their agreement from the very beginning that he laid out in no uncertain terms was that by staying in the relationship, consent was implied.
Correct. But I would, and while I'm just kind of, I'm kind of stepping here a little bit, reaching maybe.
You're playing devil's advocate?
No.
Okay. Darn.
No.
Darn. Then he just bopped me on the head, y'all.
What I was going to say is that my guess is that in those relationships, Master Cade, the other one we're talking about, or really any master-slave, my guess would be that prior to the relationship, they sat down and negotiated every little thing to the minutest detail.
And I really hope so. And I think that's the other thing, and that's a broader lesson about the lifestyle,
right,
which I can admit that I have to be reminded of from time to time. When you are at a munch or a coffee time or the club, whatever little snippet of a kinky couple's life you see is not the end, beginning, or middle of their life. There are aspects that you don't know about them.
Right.
And so it's, you know, it's real easy. And I can say that the particular couple who started me thinking on this whole implied consent thing,
mm-hmm,
he kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Well.
I think I rub him the wrong way, so I'm okay with that.
He does that to a lot of people.
Right. I'm sure he's a fine dominant. I don't think he'd be kind of allowed into the inner circle if he wasn't. It's just our personalities clash.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever, as a submissive, I'm talking to the submissives out there, have you ever met a dominant where you looked at them and went, oh, hell no. Not in a million years. Yeah. It's like that. Very nice person otherwise.
Yes.
Anyway, I think that becomes the overarching lesson there is that we don't know what somebody negotiated when, mm-hmm, they first started their relationship, unless they're willing to talk about it. Like Master Cade, he was very willing to talk about it.
Oh, absolutely.
He talked about something that I had never heard of before, and it makes sense in master-slave relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It could possibly make sense in a very strict DS relationship.
Oh, the mediator.
He has a mediator.
Yeah, they have a neutral kink mediator.
Right. So the person knows the lifestyle, understands lifestyle, understands,
yes,
both their styles and who they are, knows them very intimately.
Right. And if either one of them has any kind of issue, or not even issue, well, yeah, okay.
Issue, concern,
or something like that, they can approach the mediator, speak openly about what their feelings, their concerns are, And the mediator then broaches...
Is the go-between.
Mm-hmm. They literally... That mediator literally mediates between the two of them to help...
Resolve the
issue. Yes.
And I would say in a deep master-slave relationship, that probably makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see from listening to Daddy and myself, we're kind of open. I can say pretty much anything I need to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The thing I have
with respect, of course.
But that's what I was gonna say, Daddy. Jeez. As long as I say it respectfully. Now, if he's in a playful mood, I can be sassy.
Yes.
Sometimes I miss my mark, and I'm sassy,
mm-hmm,
when he's not really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Or in my head, I think I'm sassy, and he would use an awful, awful B word that I don't think we need to use today. I think it's better to just leave that word alone. It's not a nice word. I see your lips are wanting to make that word. I don't think that's necessary. If you really cannot figure out what word that this baby girl could be accused of being called.
Brat.
Stop! I was going to say you could email me and I would ignore you and not tell you. I don't like that word. But What I will say, because it does come down to consent,
yeah.
I don't think you can fully consent unless you fully communicate, okay?
Absolutely.
And so, for those, for all the messages I get, and I go through dry spells, like, I'll go a week mm-hmm. or so, and it's kind of quiet, and I'm thinking, okay, all my kinky people are there, like, rocking and rolling out there. And then I get sort of flooded with, like, a whole bunch of questions. Mm-hmm. And it always comes down to, he did this, or she did that, and I was afraid to say anything, and that's the problem. You can't, even in a master-slave relationship, you have to have a mechanism built in
right.
so that you can say what you need to say, because if you are going along with what's happening, whether it's a scene, whether it's a sexual moment, whether it's a way that your relationship is forming and shaping and tasks that are being assigned and mm-hmm. expectations that are being had of you, if you are going along with that, not because you want to be there or you want to have that experience, but because you were afraid to say something that contradicted your dominant or your top, then yeah. I would say, how are you fully consenting? Sure, you're going along with it, but in your mind and heart, you've got reservations. There's problems. And to me, you're not even giving your dominant the ability to really consent, because you haven't told your dominant what's going on. Your dominant might make completely different decisions
mm-hmm.
if he or she knew what was really going on with you.
Right.
Now, I do have to say that while I talk a lot about submissive feelings and sharing our feelings and saying what we feel and saying the hard stuff and talking about, you know, when something scares us or something is unpleasant, part of what our dominance job is, I guess, should they choose to accept mm-hmm. this part of the job, is to stretch our boundaries. And sometimes we are going to be uncomfortable, and sometimes we're even going to be a little scared, okay?
Right.
I have cried on more than one occasion because I was asked to, you know, go talk to strangers because that mm-hmm. is scary to me. I consented to it because my rational thinking brain said, he's right. This is actually good for me. Okay.
That's true.
So consent
you
is...
You do. You need to get out more and be around people.
I know, but people. Yeah. Can I just talk to them through the computer? That'd be great. I like talking to you guys. This is easy. I can do this. You want to know what's crazy? In a former vanilla life, I spoke publicly. I got up in front, not big humongo groups, not like 200 people, but if groups of 50 to 75 people at a max, and I spoke, and fairly confidently, and people thought I knew what I was talking about. I didn't tell them. My knees were shaking, and they couldn't see that part. Anyway, I have totally digressed.
Hidden behind the podium.
Anyway, my point is that I think it goes back to my point, is that consent is way more than a yes or no.
Absolutely.
Consent is way more than, hey, I want to smack your ass. Will you let me? Sure.
Right.
Sometimes it is, y'all. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is that simple.
Right.
Don't always overthink it, you know, but it's a lot more than that. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's every... In a DS relationship, especially if you have brought it out of the bedroom and it's not just, okay, right. we're going to have this sexy moment in the dark, it everything you do goes back to whether you're consenting or not consenting.
Right. Let's face it. Consent on many different levels, regardless of lifestyle, no means no.
Yes.
Okay? Flat out. No means
sometimes,
no.
Sometimes schmoopsie pants means no, but no well, does mean no.
You know, yes, that line is blurred a little bit in kink, but that's why they're safe words.
Right.
Okay. But you know, if someone says, you know, no, I don't want to have sex with you. No, I don't want to. You know, no means no.
And I would say that. I truly... Outside of a scene, outside of that moment where he's mm-hmm. got me screaming and writhing and making all kinds of noises that aren't natural, mm-hmm. If I said, Daddy, no, I don't want to do this. No, please, no, please, no. And he went ahead anyway because I didn't say red, that would be a problem. Because we were talking as, not as equals in that sense, mm-hmm. I'm always submissive, he's always dominant, but we were speaking, this wasn't in the throes of passion where I say sometimes, no, Daddy, no, no, and he knows that what I mean is, yes, right. please. We're talking rationally, you know,
yeah,
we're,
absolutely.
We are not in the throes of passion in the middle of a scene where it's
no.
emotions raging. We're having a conversation. And I do think, just like in vanilla sex, you know, if you... if you kind of keep up with the sex world in general, whether mm-hmm. it's kinky or not, you know, we have to explain consent like we explain a cup of tea, because there Absolutely. Are people who do not get basic consent.
Well, you know, consent in the kink world, in the BDSM world, let's face it, when I first started attending Munches, okay, y'all, I don't know how many of you people have been to Munches. I know there's several in the area we live. I have been to all of them at one point or another. People in the kink world are huggers.
Oh yeah.
They love to hug.
We're a very touchy-feely group.
But you know what? Even as much as a hug, especially if you're not familiar with that person in the lifestyle.
You're not touching me if I don't know you.
Okay. They ask permission.
They do.
And you know, even if it's a submissive, may I hug you? May I give you a hug?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, you know, that just shows you how in the community consent is thought of.
It should be.
Okay. I mean, and it should be. Absolutely.
If your community does not seem to think of it that much, maybe you need to be the one at the next munch to, if y'all do an open discussion or whatever, talk
right.
about consent.
Right.
Because, you know, here's the thing. Going back to what I was saying about the fact that we have to describe consent in terms of a cup of tea, y'all,
yeah.
in the vanilla world, we say, and I agree with the sentiment, that even if you're like already naked and one party says, no, I don't want to do this anymore, that's withdrawal of consent. And I
right.
think that in the kink world, we can get to that point and still withdraw consent too. I don't think that we give up those rights just because I'm submissive. I can't, you know.
Absolutely not.
It's just that the method may have to change, because if
right.
you are at that point where it's now an emotional experience,
let's face
no
it.
Might not sound
right.
like no to your dominant.
Now, here's another point that could change consent. All right? You know, none of us are perfect. We've all had our, you know, many of us are a little older in life, and we've had our trials and tribulations. When you are scening with somebody, when you're in a DS relationship with somebody, you're not only playing with their body, you are in their mind. Okay? Because in order to push somebody's boundaries, to know what they want and that, you're playing in their head.
Absolutely.
Okay? And when you're doing that, you know, landmines.
You might
triggers.
Stir up some crap you didn't mean to, that's for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. Something may be stirred up at some point, you know, trigger, boom, and everything goes south, okay? At that point, consent, everything stops.
Can I tell you something? It brought to mind, and I put it in my newsletter a few weeks ago, and I don't know if I sent you the link or not. You get my newsletter, right? You
yeah.
have subscribed to it. Okay.
Of
my,
course.
My daddy has subscribed to my newsletter. Anyway, there was an article published on Dom Guide, the Dominant Guide, and yeah, I'll link to it, y'all, in the show notes, don't worry, called Silent Safe Words, where the writer talked about how safe words can't always be voiced,
correct.
Not just because you've got a gag or something's going on, but because, you know, as submissive, sometimes we are floating off in space somewhere.
There have been times Kayla has spoken in non-English.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. When you get to the point you're speaking in tongues, you know
yeah.
something very
but
right.
But see, then again, too.
But his point was,
yes.
is that as a dominant, there's a lot of responsibility on the shoulders mm-hmm. of a dominant, of a good dominant. And his point was, there's the silent safe words. There's the way our body reacts or doesn't react.
Absolutely.
It's the noises we make or don't make. And so if he's in my head and he accidentally triggers something that neither of us could have anticipated,
mm-hmm.
he's got to be watching me.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I might not even be able to safe word.
There was one time I had her on the cross at the club, and it was a very intense scene. We were just, and it was great.
it's great.
she never safe worded, but I could tell by her body language what was going on with her, and it was time to stop. She wanted me to continue.
Oh yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, totally.
She was like, "Don't stop, don't stop." And I was like, "No, we're ending it right now."
And you know what? And I think that's the thing that doesn't get talked about as much. He withdrew his consent to continue the scene. Not because I was unhappy, not because he was unhappy, because it was the safest thing to
right.
do. I mean, consent is so much more than a, you know what, I don't feel like doing this anymore. That is important, y'all. I'm not
mm-hmm.
trying to, like, make light of that part of consent. But consent it crosses a lot of boundaries. Right. It's not just what the submissive wants or doesn't want, as much as that is important. Now, let me give you an example of a time I had to withdraw consent, and he almost didn't realize it at first. So we're just having sex. Now, is it kinky sex? Of course it is.
Oh, yeah.
Having sex, it's kinky sex. Even when he tries to go vanilla, oh, please, whatever. He's pulled my hair or pinched a nipple. We've dipped our toe back into kink.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't last long.
Our preferred positions actually look nothing like missionary. We do missionary fairly infrequently, and only when it's like rough and tumble, like major, like animal sex. And you would think animal sex, we'd be doggy. No, it's missionary. Anyway,
it's all how you interpret it.
Right. As much as I enjoy being choked, and I do, and I like things around my neck and throat, I have a fear of not being able to breathe. I mean, it's the thing. Yeah. Little secret, I don't know how to swim. Why? I'm not putting my face in the water. It's not happening. So, I'm afraid I will, like, I don't know what I'm afraid of, but I have a fear of not being able to breathe. So, he is not a, like, humongous man by any stretch, but he put his full weight on my chest.
My growth was stunted by drinking too much coffee at an early age.
Stop that. I'm trying to tell a story here. Goodness. If y'all are still with us at 40-some-odd minutes, bless you. Anyway, yeah. So, he puts his full weight on me, and he's just going to town. And from, like, my waist down, it feels great. But he was at the exact perfect or the exact wrong angle, and it knocked every bit of my breath out of me, and I could not catch my breath. Because at that point, I was also, like, breathing hard and panting, because, hello, monkey sex. But he did that, and I started to panic. I mean, I literally, it was like a panic attack in the middle of sex, but I couldn't breathe, so I couldn't speak.
No.
So I start flailing, because who doesn't flail when they have monkey sex?
Yeah.
It took him a minute. Like, I was full throes of panic.
It didn't sink in right away before I realized that this was the real deal and something was wrong.
Technically, I had wanted that to stop probably a good 30 seconds before it did, but for just a conglomeration of like a perfect storm sort of thing, he couldn't see it right away. And that, I don't blame him for that. There was no animosity. He was so freaked out. It was, aftercare was insane that particular night. But, you know, there's no perfect world, even with a safe word. There's no perfect. It comes down to the partner that you have and the trust that you place in them.
Caca can happen at the least expected moment.
Yes.
Okay. You know, consent, I think we could pretty much say at this point, you know, just to kind of reiterate, drunk, sick, medicated.
Panic attack.
Panic attack.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Consent cannot be given or taken.
And submissives, my lovely male, female, gender fluid submissive friends out there, it's not just your consent. It is your partner's consent. Dominants can withdraw their consent. It doesn't look necessarily the same way.
No.
I mean, you think, how can you withdraw your consent if you're the one making the decisions? It's a different side of the same coin. They don't have to engage in that, or they may have to stop the play and say, we're not going to do this anymore, whether it's for your safety or for theirs. It doesn't really matter,
you know,
but they can withdraw their consent too.
You negotiate a scene with a top, even if it's somebody that you know. You know, you want to be flogged. Okay, where do you want to be flogged? What can be touched? What can't be touched?
And you, it's know, okay to have those boundaries, y'all.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. That you need to have those boundaries.
And the person who is not comfortable with your boundaries is not the person you should play with.
Exactly. You know, that is all part of consent. You know, consent is important. You know,
it's what makes what we do doable.
Right. I mean, let's face it. You know, we hear so much on the news. Lately, in the past year, people getting into a lot of deep shit.
Kink has been in the news a lot lately.
You know, and not in a good light, you know, with non-consent. Look at the actress, porn actress, Stoya.
Stoya, oh God, okay. Poor Stoya. I wrote an article about that too.
You know, here she was in a long-term relationship. You know, I hate to say this, just because you're married to somebody.
They weren't even married. They were dating.
No, I know that. Okay. But you know, something that goes without being said, you know, you could be married. Married does not imply consent to have sex.
No.
Okay? Just because you're married does not mean, you know, that person is there to fulfill your sexual needs.
And in this case of Stoya, they're kinky. I mean, her and her former partner, I will not say his name. Anyway, she safe-worded, and he still kept going.
Right.
Not okay. Not cool.
No.
Okay?
No.
So, I guess, I think really our final point, because we could go on and on and on, is that...
Could end up being a two-parter.
Oh, gosh. Our point, though, is that while clear yeses and clear noes are very important in consent.
Right.
The whole idea of consent is much bigger. It deserves a lot more communication between you and whoever you're playing with. Either of you can withdraw it at any point. And the person who cannot respect your boundaries on either side of that coin, y'all, top, bottom, doesn't matter, is not a person you need to be playing with. Because in order to do some of the extreme things that we do, whether you're into pain or not, because you don't have to be into pain, you still have to know and have trust that the other person is going to do what they said they were going to do, not do what they said they weren't going to do, and if you need them to stop, they're going to stop.
Absolutely.
And it is that simple. And I think with that, we have thoroughly and ad nauseum discussed consent. Are you still with us? Because if you are, you deserve
God
a cookie.
Bless you.
Oh my gosh. So.
Yeah. And, you know, we have some good cookies on the dark side.
Yes, we do. Come to the dark side. We have cookies. We do.
Anyway.
We have cookies. Okay, so that is it for us this week.
Thank you all.
There's a chance in the next coming weeks, because I got a really good email from a fellow kinkster. I don't know if she listens to the show or if she just reads the blog, but we've connected in a couple of ways. About communicate, or her question to me caused me to send her basically a book, a novel length reply about communication. And so there's a possibility in the next few weeks you'll hear both of us together again talking about communication.
And you know, I just want to say real quick, I know another reader approached Kayla wanting me to discuss about being a daddy dom and the differences between a normal dom.
Normal dom.
Or
you daddy doms, you're not normal. We already knew that, though.
Okay, a dom.
A dom. Is that different from a domly dom?
We've gone off the rails here. Yeah, we've gone off the rails. So, anyway, I have that, and I will be talking about that as well. It's not forgotten.
Yay!
Being the technical advisor sometimes takes up a lot of my time.
But taking care of a baby girl takes time. What?
Yeah, well, there you go. There's one big difference.
Anyway. Just so you know, as you can tell, if you send us topic suggestions, we do take those seriously. If
Absolutely.
You send us questions that trigger a thought, we take that seriously, and
Absolutely.
We will talk about it. So
yes.
If there's something on your mind that has come up or not, send it to us. We're good.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all. Keep it kinky, and we'll see you next week.